Good afternoon. I'm going to be trying to speak on a subject that's kind of been on my heart for something I've been meditating through and in my own life. And so when I kind of found out that it was my week to speak was coming up, I figured this was something that I'd already been kind of meditating through. So I'm going to try to attempt to look at that with y'all this afternoon. My title is A Thankful Heart. So we're going to try to be looking at, a thankful heart, and what does it mean to give thanks in all things and to truly have a thankful heart like we're commanded to in Scripture. There's several passages in the Old and the New Testament that call us to give thanks in all things and to be thankful. What I've kind of been meditating through is just, what does that really look like? What does that mean in a practical sense? So the passage I'd like to turn to first, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And this is going to be kind of our main verse here. And we'll go to several others. Starting in verse 16, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So that's going to be kind of what we're looking at. But I believe, to get a better understanding of, what a thankful heart is, first I think we should consider, what a thankful heart is not. Kind of consider the opposite. And then we can kind of get a better idea of what, how we can weed out unthankfulness in our own hearts and own lives. So the first thing kind of looking at as far as what a thankful heart is not is bitterness or unthankfulness in others. So when we consider what it is really at the root to be bitter with somebody, it's usually somebody has said something or done something to wrong us, and that is what we're focusing on from that person. It's all we can think about. So it kind of starts off as that, and then it grows into other things. So it's very, very common and very easy for us to kind of fall into this just from a simple fact of we have confrontations and disagreements with people all the time. We're human beings. We're wired differently. There are certain people that I'm sure to some of y'all, I probably rub some of y'all the wrong way sometimes. And, the same is true for, certain people to me. There's just certain people that are going to get under your skin more than others. But what we're missing when we're looking at bitterness is we're focusing on a flaw or a mistake and missing everything else. So the passage I'd like to turn to, kind of looking at some of this, is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 15. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up in you, and thereby many be defiled." So it's something that you constantly, fight against. And one common thing that we're going to see with unthankfulness, and it's kind of mentioned here, is the root springing up in you. So none of these unthankful traits start off as a massive overreaction. Sometimes they do, but for the most part, it starts off as a small thought, like a little seed, that when you put it in the ground and you continue to meditate on it and you don't weed it out, it will sprout up into something, you know, continues to grow. We kind of get a, another example of this when we think about the story of Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis. If you will, turn with me to Genesis 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look in verse 6, starting in verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Of course, we know the rest of the story from there, but Cain was, you look at the word wroth, he was angry, he was upset, and he had put all of that on, really on Abel. You know, it was, his thought process was, why was Abel accepted and mine was not? Now, we don't really get a what kind of time frame, you know, how long this idea set in his mind, but we know that, you know, he obviously had spent a lot of time meditating on it, and it had grown to the point where he was willing to kill his own brother and become the first murderer in the Bible, because of this. So, and it all, instead of looking at, Abel and his good traits and, like it was his brother, being thankful for what, for all the other things, he was only concerned about he was accepted and I was not. So it took over his whole thought process to get to that point. So that's bitterness or unthankfulness with others. Next, I'd like to take a look at discontentment, which is unthankfulness in circumstance. This is kind of the most common one we tend to think about when we think about being unthankful. And it's really not being happy or content or thankful with the things that you have, and trying to gain other things. So, the passage I'd like to turn to, looking at this, is Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 15. We're going to read through verse 21. Luke 12, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shalt thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. So, in the example that Christ lays out here, you've got a man that has, a profitable field, so much so that he's having to consider building new barns to store all that his fields are producing. But what he does is he focuses so much on that to the end of, he's not satisfied with what he has and tries to get to get more. And it says, in the at the end of the parable, he gets done with his greater barns and says, okay, now I'll rest. And God says, no, now you're, tonight you're going to die. You've missed everything. And one example I kind of, a thought I had of this is, we can be a lot like a dog sitting on the front porch looking at squirrels. Stay with me. If you're sitting on the front porch and a dog sees a squirrel, or if some of y'all like squirrels, you can use a cat. He's got his food bowl, his water bowl right there on the porch, and it starts off as a small little thought. You can see his ears perk up. He sees that squirrel running through the yard, and then the closer the squirrel gets, eventually he bolts after it. Now, that dog's life has not increased or has not gotten better by chasing that squirrel one iota. And even if he catches the squirrel, there's 50 more, or at my house there's 500 more, sitting right there in the woods. And what he doesn't know is there's a mom squirrel that just had three more kids that's in the top of the tree. So that we can miss our whole entire life chasing these squirrels and not being thankful for the things that we've got right here. And at the end, it's a, it's a wasted life. So discontentment, that's kind of an example there. I'd also like to turn to kind of continue to look at this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10:10. When I say discontentment, a lot of y'all are probably thinking or something similar to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them which some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So murmuring, complaining, discontentment, kind of along the same lines. And this is talking about the children of Israel. They were kind of the classic example in the Old Testament of, never being content with what they had. They were delivered from Egypt. That wasn't good enough. They were complaining about being in the wilderness and wanted to go back to Egypt. They're getting manna from heaven. That's not good enough. They want meat. They get the quail. They're just habitually falling into this discontentment. And that can be a huge warning for us as we're kind of looking at what discontentment can lead to, and also how God views discontentment. All of us are richly blessed people, it's kind of a slap in the face of God to say, this isn't good enough. I've got to have something else. Kind of considering that, you do have the children of Israel are a good example, and you've also have, kind of considering some more of this, you've also got the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is pretty much bemoaning the fact that his all of the things that he has are vanity, throughout that book. It's a great resource for kind of thinking through some more of this as well. That Solomon, none of us are going to ever have more than King Solomon had. And yet, he had just this infinite amount of wealth, and he still claimed it was vanity. What hope do we really think of, if I get that new truck that I want so bad in my heart, am I going to think that, it's not going to be vanity in the end? We're foolish to think that. So the other thing, or the last point kind of in looking at what thankfulness is, you know, what thankfulness is not. Depression or unthankfulness in and of yourself. So all of us have kind of, there's nothing that is uncommon to man. So a lot of the thoughts, you know, they can be related to some of the things we've already talked about, but you can also just have, you know, being unthankful with yourself. You know, thoughts like, I'm not good enough, and, you know, I despise myself, I can't do anything right. All of these, again, these are little thoughts that, like a seed that once put into the ground, it can continue, you know, if not weeded out, will continue to grow. And what I mean by that, you know, you ladies that have a garden, Margaret won't let me help in the garden. I don't have a green thumb. At least that's what I tell her anyway. But, you know, you think about if you have a weed that springs up in your garden, are you going to put fertilizer on it? Are you going to, you know, water it and care for it? No, you're going to pluck it out immediately straight from the root. You get rid of the weed, because what happens if the weed is allowed to grow? Well, you know, you're trying to think of what you people would, or what y'all would grow. You know, strawberries, blueberries, you know, your crop is going to be choked out by this weed. So unthankfulness is the same exact way. It springs up in our mind, and if we dwell on it, it's going to continue to grow. Well, we've got to extract, you know, dig it out from the root. Well, how do we do that? Well, we know, you know, in putting on the full armor of God, we know that if you're going to put off something and get rid of something, it has to be replaced with something else. So what do we do with these things when we're looking at the opposite, you know, all of these things that we, you know, struggle with on a day-to-day basis and deal with? You know, how do we combat these things? Well, we combat them with focusing on thankfulness. So instead of focusing on, you know, what we don't have, what we don't like, and what we can't stand, we focus rather on what God has given us. So looking at, you know, thanksgiving in others to combat bitterness. And I thought Timothy Guest did a really good job. If y'all have not heard the my idea for this kind of came from his talk at the men's conference of, you know, when somebody does get on your nerve, instead of focusing on what you can't stand about that person, what you do is you focus on, you know, what am I thankful for with them? What do they do well? Because we all have gifts. You know, we've got different strong points. We've got, you know, there's some people that that are stronger at you know, at doing physical things and helping people and those kind of physical, you know, cutting yards, going to camp work days, and then there's other people that help more on an emotional sense, while some people are not emotional. You know, kind of as Brother Lewis has been talking to, kind of we all have strengths in the comfort. We can try to grow those, but there's we can focus on the other person's strength rather than their shortcomings, and also focusing on, you know, if any of us in this body, we can focus on, you know, they're a chosen child of God. So, you know, that if there's any reason to focus on loving somebody, that would be it right there. In that point, I'd like to turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 31. This kind of illustrates what I've been talking about here. But starting in verse 31 of Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So again, this is kind of you know, re-emphasizing the point I was just saying of you've got to put it away with all, with all malice. So aggressively rooting this out. But then, as I mentioned before, you can't just put off something and leave the empty space. You have to then replace it with, being kind to one another. So, another way to, if you're thankful, thankful for people and thankful for their gifts, you're also going to try to serve them. And that goes into a whole nother, the more you do that, the more you're not going to be angry or bitter with them. You've got to, again, strive to do that. I would also like to take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Romans 12:14. And this would be for those, outside of, outside of the church that are also, that we would, be upset or angry with. Verse 14, bless them that which persecute you, bless and curse not. So, you bless them and don't, put away the anger again. Bless is a, one thing you can be thankful for in somebody outside of a non-believer that, may be making life difficult for you. We've all been there kind of in that scenario is, you can be the shining light to them of Christ and that we serve a God that can, that can save them just like He saved you. So again, a thankfulness in even in enduring persecution, a thankfulness for, and you can still use the same thing I was talking about before of, everybody again has strength. There are certain people that even if they're persecuting you, you can be thankful that well at least they do this or look for the positives. You've got to weed out that that root of bitterness there. Next, kind of along the same line here, we're going to be taking a look at, or to the next point, thankfulness in circumstances. So thankfulness in circumstances. This is going to be battling discontentment with thankfulness. But if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be starting in verse 4. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So again, letting your moderation be known. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in all things, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So, this is again instead of focusing on what we don't have, this is more of an emphasis on what we, what we do have. And I think the best example of this that we have in the Bible is going to be, King David. If there was any man that had, several episodes in his life to be unthankful and to be discontent with his circumstances, it would be him. Starting off with, him being left at home in the field while his brothers went off to war. He was just left alone, left behind. You've also got him being persecuted by Saul to the point to where he lived in caves, and yet he still prayed, continuously gave thanksgiving to God in the Psalms. You know, Brother Lewis has been going through the Psalms on Wednesday nights. How many Psalms have thanksgiving in them? A ton of them. David was a very thankful, very thankful person. And it's no wonder he had, he was a man after God's own heart. His heart was constantly full of thanksgiving to God. It's focusing on what we do have. You know, because all of us, we live here in America, we have a ton of things to be thankful for just inherently. All of us are in different stages, different points in life, have different different jobs, but we can all be thankful, you know, for if you have a family, you can be thankful for that. You can be thankful for a home. You can be thankful for the country that you live in. You can be thankful for the church that you have. Even if, you know, all of those things are no longer there, you know, if we're really in a doom and gloom moment, we can still be thankful that I woke up this morning. My lungs are pumping oxygen throughout my body so my organs can function. The sun rose this morning. There are tons of things just to be thankful for. And like I said, this is something I've kind of been meditating on. You'd be surprised how differently you look at life when you wake up in the morning trying to focus on, you know, it's a conscious effort, but I'm going to be thankful this morning. You know, thank you, God, for this. Thank you for this. So when somebody does wrong you, or when, you know, you don't have exactly what you want, you're still, you know, you're going to be thankful because of the things that you do have. But again, it's a conscious effort. You know, weeding your garden is not an easy task. All of us have done that at some point. It, you know, some of those roots get down in there. You really have to, you know, yank them up. So, being thankful for what we do have rather than what we don't. And then thankfulness for the work of God Himself. This is going to be combating the depression that we can deal with. And looking at that, I would like to turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith that ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, in and of ourselves, you know, all of those thoughts, they can be true in a sense of, yes, in and of ourselves, we don't, you know, we don't add up. We're not, there is nothing good. But we do have Christ. In Christ, we do measure up. You know, we can be thankful for the regenerating work of Christ in our heart, that He is, you know, He has taken our sin debt and put it on Himself. You know, you are worthy in the eyes of God through Christ. That's a beautiful thought. You know, if you focus on that when you're having those, you know, the thoughts of unworthiness, how can you continue to be down in the dumps thinking about that? And yet I say that, and it's still a very easy thing to do, isn't it? You know, again, going back to the analogy, it's not an easy thing to get these weeds out of our heart. But this is how we do it. We focus on Christ and His worthiness rather than our unworthiness. He's loved us with a personal love. He chose us before the foundation of the world and drew us to Himself out of darkness and into light. That's a beautiful reality. We can be thankful in that. So instead of focusing on us, which is when we're dealing with that, we're really focused on, again, it starts off as a small thought and eventually grows into a massive problem. But we're consumed with ourselves at that point, looking way too much inward when we should be looking at the cross of Christ. I hope this has been a blessing. I hope that God will bless us to be, a thankful people, that we would strive to grow more and more in thankfulness. I hope it's been a coherent and a blessing to you guys, as it's been to me, to kind of study through some of these things. So God bless y'all.
Well, appreciate that, Caleb, and may the Lord bless us to cultivate thankful hearts. There are some invitations for Reed and Amelia's wedding out on the foyer table. Pick one of those up on your way out. We're going to put one on the bulletin board as well. Anyone have anything on their hearts, anything you'd like to mention before we dismiss?